all we have time for today. I'd also like to thank you at home. Join us again next week for another edition of Eye on Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sayyid Abdullah Musa. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So this series of the program Viewpoints is mainly concerned with an analysis on the important points addressed by the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And in this new series, we are concerned with the topic humans or human beings in the speeches of the leader of Islamic Republic of Iran. For today, we want to talk about an important topic, and that is the difference, or it's better to say the comparison, as it is between the Western democracy and the Islamic one, the term that is coined as Mardum Salari Dini. Roughly, it could be translated as to Islamic democracy or religious democracy, but I think it's better to say a popular religious governance would be a better translation for that. Brother Ali, let's start with you, brother. First of all, differentiate for us between the democracy that is believed in the West and the type of the popular governance that is believed according to the religion of Islam. Also, the leader has explained in his speeches on different occasions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. In Western democracy, which is based on a humanistic worldview, actually the center of the universe, as we said earlier, is human or man. So whatever is going to be looked at can be seen from the perspective or from the eyes of this human towards the universe. So there is no place for the creator of this man who has been created on this scene of earth. So when you look at everything with the glasses of a man towards the universe, so all the rights are going to be given to this person, to this entity, and all the privileges that are existing in this world should be naturally going to this entity.
So this is when we are talking about democracy in the political sense of the word.
Yeah, even in its
because
social
they have
aspect.
Theocracy too, you know.
Yeah,
somehow.
So we shall gradually we shall reach to that point as well. So when you see no place for the creator or God, so this kind of worldview can be formed, and you look at the world from this angle. But in an Islamic worldview, when you have defined man as a creature of God, then you have seen an important role for the creator, and he has been actually created to move towards this creator and to actually to promote and to reach to the perfection for the and the ultimate goal of this perfection is reaching to God and meeting God and visiting God. Mm-hmm. So when you see that, so there are two totally different worldviews.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, the man's idea and worldview is very important, but for the sake of God, this is what Islamic worldview actually talks about. It says that man is free, has his own freedom, and his own freedom actually is limited by some values.
Okay.
And values are absolute, not relative.
Right.
I mean, in comparison to what the Western belief goes.
So is it all right to compare, because when we say the Western democracy, we are comparing a merely political theme from one side, which has position in the political or sociological sciences mm-hmm. with something which is rooted in religion. Is it at all right to compare these two system of values?
Look, your belief, your religious belief actually affects all aspects of your life.
Okay, in Islam. Okay.
Yeah, because in Islam we believe that state and religion are intermingled. So they are always in relation to each other. So this is your religious belief that forms your social activities, mm-hmm. social behavior, political behavior, yeah. and whatever you do in the society.
So Islam and belief and faith, the umbrella term, virtue that overshadows all the concepts. Okay,
it is the same even in the West when you are not actually bounding yourself to any faith or any religion. So you don't actually give any right to the values.
So this is
so you look at the values as something as relative.
Okay,
so when they are relative, so your freedom is your freedom has no borders, even to be limited. Even while it is violating the rights of others.
That's all right.
So what is the solution? Mm-hmm. Islam says your freedom is not borderless as it is in the other schools. It can be confined and limited by the values that Islam has defined for you. And this this freedom is gives you more freedom than in the other case. Because in the other case, they just look at it in a social aspect. What do I mean? So, for example, you say that I don't park my car in this area of the street because the, I don't know, society or people in general will be actually bothered or annoyed by this, let's say, taking off the place. But
and also the laws are stronger.
The laws, let's say, okay. a social aspect of it. Yeah. But in Islam, not only the social aspect of the activities, but also the individual and personal aspect of them are looked at and regarded. Look, if you, for example, come in the street as a person naked, so you are actually violating the right of others, but in a Western kind of local, in other schools, this personal freedom actually does not violate the right of others, because I like myself, for example, I like to kill myself, to commit suicide, okay? So, and it is called that this is my personal individual right.
Okay, thank you very much. Said Abdullah, let's get to you, brother. But I think at the same time in the religious popular governance, which is believed in Islam, and the leader has addressed so many speeches on this topic, there must be a kind of internal contradiction, and that is how can obedience to the will of the people and obedience to God be combined in a phrase called religious democracy? I mean, could it be combined at all? Because, you know, from one side you have the will of the people, from the other side, will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How these are going to come together?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, I think if we have to discuss democracy,
yes.
Looking at it from an Islamic perspective and a secular perspective, the problem is, I think if you want to say there is an Islamic democracy, I think that's just another way of defaming Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Because what would happen is you would do a comparison between a secular system and an Islamic system. So you can say, well, in a secular system, people have more freedom, right? They can do whatever they want. A woman, for example, can take off their hijab.
Yes.
Men can do whatever they want. That's their freedom.
Okay.
So, and then they say, okay, let's compare that to an Islamic freedom. What Islam provides as a freedom in terms of democracy. And we say, well, the reality is we don't have such a thing called democracy in Islam.
Yes.
Islam itself is a system, it's a way of life.
Yes.
Democracy is embedded in that system.
That's right.
So it's not a value by itself that you can look at and say, okay, this is what Islam says in
democracy
terms of...
Democracy in what sense, Ed? Democracy in what sense?
No, so this is what we're trying to say, is that they're saying, well, our democracy, the secular democracy, is that you can do whatever you want.
Yes.
So they're giving man his freedom, which means, another way, giving him a green card to indulge in his desires.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, Islamically, we say, okay, we don't have an Islamic democracy because that, if you, because you're going to end up comparing it to another democracy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then the Islam would look like what? A backward religion. So we're saying, no, Islam, what it does, it's a system of life that has given everyone his rights, has put limitation on everything in life. Now, if you follow such a system, you will get your rights and preserve the right of other people.
Okay,
now, I want to, this is so what we say in that kind of democracy.
As a compliment on what respected Sayyid said, I want to say that whatever they call it, democracy is not democracy in reality. I mean, in
it's
a
not.
Western look, I mean, school of in a Western perspective. Why? Because they say that the right of majority of people is going to be valued and respected, right?
Mm.
Okay.
But in reality, it's not the right of all. The right of a limited group of people, specifically the capitalists.
Now you're talking about the elect representatives. For example, in terms of, you know, because democracy...
Based on the democracy, world, they make laws, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So who are going... Who are those who are making laws?
I know, especially in the U.S. system, you know, democracy and republic are somehow used interchangeably. And when you go to the democracy and say, you can find that political parties are run by the representatives elect. I mean, they are deciding
the
people.
That's the problem. I mean, even they themselves, even the secular systems themselves, they don't have a defined meaning or definition for democracy itself. Like the brother said, when it comes to democracy, for example, each system or each country or each government will look at democracy from their perspective. For example, whoever is in power will determine what democracy is based on what he thinks is right. So we, even the secular system, even other countries, they don't have like a democracy that meets the needs of all.
So,
for example, let's say everyone is free.
Yes.
Now, this kind of freedom is limited to certain countries, for example.
Right.
Other countries don't have that.
Okay.
When they say, okay, you're free to elect, but we will have to give you our representatives, and you have to elect, then which kind of democracy is this? That's not democracy, is it?
So you mean...
So it's like the brother said, it's relative, which means each one can give his own definition of democracy and can go with it. So, like I said, so sometimes I think we might just need to...
Rethink.
No, so start with trying to define what democracy is and how is democracy viewed
the problem,
from whose perspective, who sets the values of democracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then once you guys can figure out what democracy it is to you, then come to us and tell us, okay, what is your Islamic version of democracy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we'll give you our answer.
Or it's better to say that there is no Islamic democracy, you know, I mean this term.
Like I said,
this
we don't have such a thing called Islamic democracy.
Yeah.
Like I said, democracy if in the sense of giving people their rights and taking your rights, that's already incorporated in Islam itself as a system.
Very good.
Yes.
And so we don't have to separate things and say, okay, we have a value called democracy, we have a value called voting. No, no, this is all incorporated in the system itself.
Very true, Sayyid.
That's right.
And this is why Islam gives this right to all the personalities in
so
a society,
anyone who takes
not a certain, let's say, class of people.
Exactly.
So what
applies
is the,
to all?
Okay.
That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, if you killed someone, it's as if you have killed the whole world. So the right of that single person is also observed.
Now the question is, now
but
the question
in
is,
the other system or other schools,
yes.
So the right of a certain class of people are observed, not all the people. Can you prove that, for example, a black person is equal to, for example, a white person in America, who can actually approve this?
These are the movements, you know, Black Lives Matter or other movements looking for their rights. Thank you very much for today's discussion. It was really nice. Sayyid Abdullah Musa, Brother Ali, we are out of time for today's discussion.
Thanks.
We have to cut it over here. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this program. This is Weir Points. I'm Atal, the host of this program. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Color of Islam page, also YouTube channel, Instagram page, Color of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah. The same when I
I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst to stay. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. In the United States, a judge has ruled that migrant children who wake in makeshift camps along the U.S.-Mexico border for Border Patrol to process them are in the agency's custody and are subject to a long-standing agreement that sets standards for their treatment. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster CBS News has covered this story. A federal judge in Los Angeles, California, ordered U.S. border officials to quickly process and relocate migrant children from makeshift open-air sites in Southern California, where advocates have documented squalid conditions. In a 12-page order issued on Wednesday, 3rd of April, Judge Dolly G. of the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California found that the children, who federal officials have argued are not yet in U.S. custody, are entitled to the rights and protections offered to migrant minors under a long-standing Flores settlement agreement. Under that court settlement, the U.S. government agreed to provide basic services to migrant children, including by housing them in safe and sanitary facilities. U.S. District Court Judge Dolly G. concluded that while migrant children at the outdoor staging areas in Southern California have not been formally processed yet, they are still in the legal custody of the United States, since their movement is controlled by Border Patrol agents. At the center of the case are seven sites near San Diego and Jacumba Hot Springs in California, a remote area of Southern California where migrants have waited for hours or days before Border Patrol agents transfer them to brick-and-mortar detention facilities to formally process them. Advocates have said Border Patrol directs migrants to these sites. Citing declarations from advocates who visited the open-air sites, U.S. District Judge Dolly G. said migrant children at these locations often don't receive adequate food beyond crackers. Some of the sites have lacked a sufficient number of dumpsters and portable toilets, and the ones they do have are overflowing and unusable. The judge, Dolly G, added, "This means that the open-air sites not only have a foul smell, but also that trash is strewn about the sites, and class members are forced to relieve themselves outdoors." Over the past several years, U.S. District Judge Dolly G has repeatedly found that the U.S. government under Republican and Democratic administrations has violated the Flores Agreement. In a statement, Customs and Border Protection, CBP, said it was reviewing Judge G's ruling. CBP will continue to transport vulnerable individuals and children encountered on the border to its facilities as quickly as possible, the agency said. For over a year, the government has left children suffering in dangerous and inhumane conditions at open-air detention sites, insisting that these children are not their responsibility, according to advocates for migrants. Nihar Desai, an attorney at the National Center for Youth Law. Nihar Desai added, "Thanks to the court's clear and consequential decision, the U.S. government can no longer pretend that children in the open-air detention sites are not in government custody. Border Patrol has recorded a sharp increase at migrant crossings in Southern California in recent months. In the first 5 months of fiscal year 2024, Border Patrol recorded nearly 152,000 migrant apprehensions in its San Diego sector, a 72% increase from fiscal year 2023, according to government data. In 2024, the San Diego sector has been the second busiest Border Patrol sector for illegal crossings, only behind Tucson, Arizona. CNN Cable News Network has also covered the same story. Migrant children held in open-air desert camps are in federal custody and required to be expeditiously processed and placed in facilities that are safe and sanitary, a federal judge in California said in a court order late on Wednesday, 3rd of April. Judge Dolly G wrote that U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, does maintain legal custody over the children in the open-air detention sites and has decision-making authority over the health and welfare of the children at those sites. Thousands of asylum seekers from countries ranging from Mexico and Venezuela to China and India have made their way to makeshift camps in remote sections of the California desert since last spring. That includes dozens of children. In a court document filed in late February, children's rights attorneys argued that federal immigration officials directed migrants to those camps but failed to provide adequate food, adequate water, shelter, and medical services for them. The Biden administration, however, argued that the minors and children had not been arrested by CBP and were therefore not in legal custody of the agency. But the attorney said in court filings that Border Patrol actions demonstrate that the agency has assumed authority over the migrants, pointing to agents regularly patrolling the camps, watching them with surveillance cameras, and transporting migrants to the tents. Attorneys added that agents placed wristbands on migrants, conducted body searches of the migrants, told them where to stand, and threatened them with losing their chance at asylum if they leave the camp. U.S. District Judge Dolly G concluded on Wednesday that the CBP, Customs and Border Protection, should not hold minors in or direct them to open-air sites except for the amount of time that the Department of Homeland Security reasonably requires to prepare the minor and or actively arrange for transport of the minor to a more suitable facility, as this behavior constitutes unnecessary delay. U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, is reviewing the court's order. CBP will continue to transport vulnerable individuals and children encountered on the border with Mexico to its facilities as quickly as possible, according to a CBP spokesperson. U.S. District Judge Dottie G. also ordered the CBP Juvenile Coordinator to file an interim report by 10th of May, with an update on the number of children and minors held in open-air sites and how the agency has complied with the court order.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
In the name of Allah. And today with today's special, another achievement of the holy month of Ramadan. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Salam. Welcome. This is today's special.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
At first we look at the calendar. Today, Tuesday, is the 29th of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Ghafir, verses 41 to 42.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَيَا قَوْمِ مَا لِي أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى النَّجَاةِ وَتَدْعُونَنِي إِلَى النَّارِ.
And O my people, how is it that I invite you to salvation while you invite me to the fire?
تدعونني لأكفر بالله وأشرك به ما ليس لي به علم وأنا أدعوكم إلى العزيز الغفار.
You invite me to disbelieve in Allah and associate with Him that of which I have no knowledge. And I invite you to the Exalted in Might, the Perpetual Forgiver.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Repentance and turning away from polytheism and disbelief will be accepted by Allah Almighty. However, such acceptance is not owing to inability and disparateness, but it signifies that Allah Almighty, the Omnipotence, is oft-forgiving. The Divine Most Beautiful Names, the Omnipotent and oft-forgiving, make a reference to the great origin of fear and hope. On the one hand, and they allude to the negation of the divinity of idols and pharaohs, lacking potency and forgiveness on the other.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً وتدربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا رب
شكراً يا رب
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكراً يا
As I told you, the topic of this episode is Ramadan and the change. And it's really a big compound, Ramadan and a change, a big change. Many are those fettered with chains of sin and those captivated by bad habits of whose damage and dangers they are completely aware. The essential factor to get rid of a bad habit is to have a firm will. And Ramadan is a divinely educational school where the Muslim believer is trained to strengthen his will by not surpassing the limits of his Lord in everything and to execute his commands and laws in everything. Fasting is a way to establish a resolute, firm will, a way for the human being to connect with his Lord in obedience and submission, and a way to transcend beyond all bodily necessities with all their pressures and heaviness, preferring the pleasure of goods that are with Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the achievements of the month of Ramadan, the origin of personal and social blessings. Another major product of this month is piety. As it is said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, the hand that holds its own reins. This is the meaning of piety. Sometimes we can rightly hold the reins of others if we can hold our own reins. Keep ourselves from unruliness, from savagery, from crossing the divine red lines, that is a great skill. Piety means self-monitoring, to move on God's straight path, finding knowledge, understanding, and insight, and moving based on knowledge, understanding, and insight. Fortunately, our society had many of these fortunate individuals who are able to gain these blessings in the month of Ramadan. It can be said that the predominant faith of our country and people, thank God, was such in various gatherings and sessions of remembrance and prayer, in Quran recitation sessions on the nights of destiny, and various ceremonies, as we see images and we are informed and we are following the news. All different classes of nations gather around this divine banquet table and the month of Ramadan, and all are benefited. What is necessary is that we preserve these achievements, keep this harvest. Let not the lighting of sin burn and destroy this valuable harvest. Keep the path of Allah, the path of attention, the path of spiritual purity, the path of intimacy with the Quran, the path of keeping our relationship with Allah open, of confiding in Allah and speaking to Allah, open for ourselves. If you spoke to Allah, Allah also speaks to you. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth humble and wise, be like the rain pouring all your love to every soul.
This is today's special. We're speaking about fasting and elevation of our spirit and increasing our awareness of Allah. Dear listener, fasting elevates the human spirit and increases our awareness of God. It strengthens our willpower as we learn to rise above our lower desires. The institution of fasting is both a unique and a shared experience in human history. From the very beginning of time, humans have struggled to master their physical and psychological selves, their bodies and their emotions. Hunger is one of the most powerful urges that we experience. many through over or under eating or consumption of unhealthy foods abuse this urge. Thus, when a person purposefully denies something to their own self that it craves, they are elevating their mind above their body and their reason and will above their carnal passions. A fasting person empties their stomach of all the material things to fill his soul with peace and blessings, to fill his heart with love and sympathy, to fill his spirit with piety and faith, to fill his mind with wisdom and resolution. Fasting is a multifunctional tool for change.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد
تدعو إلى الدين القويم من الرشاد
يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الراشدين يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الذاكرين
ومضات.
And we are speaking about changing in the month of Ramadan and of course after that. In a nutshell, even though the real purpose of the dynamic institution of fasting and discipline is to discipline our soul and moral behavior and to develop sympathy for the less fortunate, it is a multifunctional and a comprehensive tool of change in various spheres of our lives, including social and economic, intellectual and humanitarian, spiritual and physical, private and public, personal and common, inner and outer, all in one.
To be pious, it's very simple. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا. The pious ones, when they are attacked, touched by a group of shayateen, a group of devils, satans, who are trying to misguide them, what's their weapon against shaytan? Yes, shaytan's powerful. Allah has given him some power in this dunya. Sure, he can do things we can't do. But the Quran says the believers, the pious ones, have a weapon that's stronger. What's that weapon? تذكر. They simply remind themselves. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Once they remind themselves, they see the way. Set up constant reminders. Don't think it's silly. You have an app, a nice reminder app that you enjoy? Set up reminders. Reminder to pray, to thank Allah, to visit your family, to avoid sins, to overcome bad habits. Set up reminders. Have your smartphone notify you. Every 3 hours, thank Allah. Every 3 hours, don't sin. It's so effective. You just have to remind yourself of the actual reality of this dunya. Too often we go out there in society, the dunya deceives us through popular culture, through money, through business. We forget the reality of this dunya.
Dear brothers and sisters, our time is end now. Thank you for listening. We leave you in Allah's protection and have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
الرزاق يا غفار يا ظهار يا وهاب يا توار يا رحيم يا عزيز يا سميع يا بصير يا لطيف يا خبير يا حليم يا عظيم يا كبير يا حفيظ يا وكيل يا قوي يا متين
بسم الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی است.
And try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
نزل القرآن يهدي للتي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين.
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین الحق ليظهره على الدین كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد اینها چیزای لازم است
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones
اما این کافی نیست
But it's not enough
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن دوری از قرآن از قرآن
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran Quran Quran
کتاب الله
Palestinian struggle to liberate their country stands as one of the most enduring and contentious resistance movements in modern history. At its heart lies the issue of occupation, with Israel's presence in Palestinian territories being a source of deep-seated grievances, violence, and international concern. The roots of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories can be traced back to the late 19th and early 20th centuries, with the rise of the Zionist movements advocating for the establishment of a so-called Jewish homeland in historical Palestine. The Balfour Declaration of 1917, issued by the British government, lent support to these aspirations, laying the groundwork for the eventual creation of Israel in 1948. The events surrounding the creation of Israel in 1948, known as the Nakba, or the Catastrophe, marked a pivotal moment in the history of the region. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were displaced from their homes and became refugees as a result of the conflict between Israeli and Arab forces. In 1967, Israel launched a strike against Egypt, Jordan, and Syria in what became known as the Six-Day War. Supported by its Western allies, including the United States and Britain, the Israeli regime occupied the West Bank, including East El-Quds, the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula, and the Golan Heights. This marked the beginning of Israel's military occupation of Palestinian territories, which continues to this day. Palestinians tried all diplomatic and legal ways to end the Israeli occupation over the past 7 decades. In the early 1990s, efforts were made to negotiate a peaceful resolution to allow Palestinians to have their own state. Known as the Oslo Accord, it never put an end to the Israeli aggression, as the regime continued settlement expansion in the occupied territories. There were other deals, including Camp David, which never resulted in peace and only emboldened Israel in its atrocities against Palestinians. Throughout its occupation of Palestinian territories, Israel has committed all kinds of atrocities against Palestinians, including massacres and non-stop human rights abuses, such as land confiscation, home demolitions, arbitrary arrests, and excessive use of force against Palestinian civilians. The Palestinian resistance to the Israeli occupation has taken various forms. It started from peaceful protests to civil disobedience. But with major world powers' unconditional support for Israel, under whose influence even Arab countries started normalizing ties with the regime, Palestinians found no alternative to armed resistance to achieve their rights. Palestinians decided to take up arms and fight for the liberation of their territory, with groups such as Hamas and Islamic Jihad gaining prominence in the popular struggle.
What do you think? Do you advise me to continue as a slave? It's a right which has been granted for us who are living under occupation. That the time the diplomacy and politics fail, it's a right of those people who are living under occupation to defend themselves with all means. The victory has to be snatched, especially when you are facing such extremist, murderous, criminal leadership of your enemy.
On October 7, 2023, the Palestinian resistance fighters launched their biggest operation yet, a massive and deadly response to over 70 years of Israeli atrocities against them. Thousands of rockets fired from Gaza rained down on the occupied territories. The projectiles reached as far north as Tel Aviv and as far east as El-Quds. Shortly after, Palestinian fighters stormed towns in the south, launching deadly attacks and taking more than 200 captives, including military personnel. The 10-hour Al-Aqsa flood operation dealt a humiliating blow to Israel's much-touted military and intelligence system. Shortly after the operation, the Israeli military launched a massive strike on the besieged Gaza Strip that has killed more than 30,000 people, most of them women and children, so far. The Israeli regime, encouraged by the U.S. and Western allies' support, outlined 3 major objectives for this onslaught on Gaza.
I have 3 goals. One goal is to defeat Hamas, utterly defeat and destroy Hamas. The second is to bring back our hostages. And the third is to ensure that we don't have a similar threat in the future from Gaza, and that what happens in Gaza is good for Israel, good for Palestinians, good for the Middle East. And to do that, we need to demilitarize Gaza and de-radicalize Gaza. We cannot have it mean for the foreseeable future Israeli overriding military responsibility.
The Israeli regime has not only failed to achieve the goals, but also was forced to negotiate with Hamas on a ceasefire. The failure to achieve these goals has not only exposed the limitations of Israel's military prowess, but has also highlighted the resilience and the determination of Palestinian resistance forces.
There is no doubt that Operation Al-Aqsa Flood represented a success for the resistance movement, a success in carrying out a large-scale operation without the enemy being able to take action preemptively. This operation succeeded in seizing the entire Gaza positions within just hours. This is undoubtedly a great achievement, but here's the question. Was there any expectation for the enemy's reaction? Certainly. It was expected that there would be a reaction, but it is the nature of the occupation. It kills you, seizes your land, arrests you, and imprisons you. For example, in the West Bank in 2022, before the operations, the number of martyrs was about 500. The number of wounded people who were taken to hospitals exceeded 3,000. We are talking about thousands of prisoners. Under this occupation for 75 years, you have two choices. Either you do nothing and it continues to kill you, capture you, and seize your land, or you resist and the enemy will continue the aggression. But the message will be conveyed that the Palestinian people are still adhering to their right to resist, that the enemy is paying a price for the occupation.
Operation Al-Aqsa Flood marked a significant turning point for the Palestinian people, showcasing the harsh reality of Israeli occupation to the world. This operation not only highlighted the plight of Palestinians, but also indicated the power of Palestinian resistance in a coastal territory which has been under siege for some 17 years. Prior to this operation, Arab states were moving towards normalizing ties with Israel, overshadowing the Palestinian cause. However, the Gaza war that ensued, the October 7th operation, has shifted global attention back to the long-standing struggle of Palestinians for freedom over the past seven decades. It's been a stark reminder of the brutality of the Israeli occupation. Despite Israel's military might and reputation, the war in Gaza has been perceived as a humiliating defeat for Israel on multiple fronts. Public opinion worldwide has increasingly turned against Israel, as images of civilian casualties and destruction in Gaza have circulated widely, shedding light on the brutality by Israeli forces, which left no safe zone in Gaza, hitting even hospitals and UN refugee shelters. The October 7th operation stands as a testament to the power of Palestinian resistance, showcasing how a small and determined movement can withstand the might of the Israeli army, backed by the U.S. and other Western countries. This operation highlighted the unwavering resilience of the Palestinian people and emphasized that resistance is not only a means of survival, but also a powerful tool in securing their right to self-determination. The ability of Palestinian fighters to hold their ground against one of the most advanced armies in the world has not only defied expectations, but also exposed the limitations of military might in the face of steadfast resistance. The refusal to surrender in the face of overwhelming odds sends a powerful message that the Palestinian people will not be silenced or oppressed, but will continue to fight for their rights and their dignity.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Dozens of civilians are killed in the latest Israeli attacks in Gaza, with the total death toll surpasses 33,200.